The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, what's the deal with the Pope? Well, my friend, according to Catholic tradition, Peter was the most important of Christ's disciples and designated the head of the church. Popes, supposedly, are men of God chosen to take over Peter's position sequentially over the years, generation after generation. Now, let me say this as carefully as I can. I myself am not Catholic, neither do I believe in popes. There is zero evidence that Jesus gave Peter any more authority than the other apostles, although all of the apostles, including Peter, were certainly given a great deal of authority. However, having said that, I respect Catholics. I respect Catholic tradition. As for popes, well, they may mean nothing to me personally. Historically, I have liked some of them. Some have been better than others. I do, however, have serious problems with the current pope and some of the leftist political harangue that spews forth from his increasingly irresponsible mouth. Here's the latest one, a special holiday message that undoubtedly infers President Trump, although it's not limited to Trump. And you really need to catch this. Those who believe in borders are to be compared to King Herod, who ordered the execution of children in the hopes of destroying baby Jesus. Here it is in his own words, Pope Francis on immigration and borders. I must admit that I am shocked by some of the narratives I hear in Europe about borders. Populism is gaining strength. In other parts, there are walls that even separate children from parents. Herod comes to mind. So, wanting to protect our country with walls makes us like a bloodthirsty king who murdered children. This from the man who lives in the walled Vatican. This from the man who doesn't seem to have the time to call out Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, who reminded us just the other day what a dedicated Catholic she is, a dedication that doesn't seem to translate into any kind of outcry against abortion or infanticide performed in the name of abortion. God forbid that those who actually condone the killing of babies should be compared to the king who killed babies. Of course not. King Herod is instead compared to those who are concerned about our borders. Isn't that nice? What a wonderful, heartfelt Christmas message. Makes me want to go out and sing a Christmas carol. Oh, well, whenever hypocrisy gets me down, I cheer myself up by reminding myself of people I respect, people such as a better leader in the church, Pastor Jim Barrier. Jim, welcome to our program.
Wow. I am not Pope-like. Let's just get that settled right
No,
away.
But you know who else is not Pope-like? The Pope.
Well, you know, that I've been amazed at some of the stuff this guy's been saying, and we aren't going to do our show tonight about the Church of Rome and the Pope and everything, but it just seems like he's really become aligned with the extreme left, and it disappoints me.
Yeah, he's more or less Pope Karl Marx is what he is.
I had great hope for him when he was first named Pope, and thought there could be some great stuff. But, you know...
You call that hope for the Pope?
Hope for the Pope?
Remember Saturday Night Live? They used to have Pope on a rope?
Pope, okay, nope.
I think it was Pope Soap on a Rope. I think that with Father Guido Sarducci, remember?
Yeah. Well, I liked him a lot.
Oh, he was great. Yeah,
I liked Guido Sarducci. But crazy stuff going on. And then, you know, and then we got this whole, what's the update on the impeachment thing as we stand? Any news, any good news, bad news?
Well, the real update is that Nancy Pelosi still puts her finger to the wind. You know, Pelosi would love to find a way to get out of this, in my opinion. I believe, however, that Adam Schiff wants to go down in history as the man who took down President Trump. I believe Jerry Nadler wants to do the same. There will probably be some Democrats who were elected in districts Trump won in 2016 that won't go along with it. But we would need like 31 of them to not go along with it, if I'm calculating correctly, to stop this. So probably he'll get impeached. But again, that doesn't mean conviction. That doesn't mean conviction in the Senate. And then Romney, our self-appointed standard bearer, will probably... Yeah. Vote for his conviction too, but I don't think it'll go through the Senate. I don't believe he'll be removed from office.
I can't imagine that happening. And so, but it obviously, I think we've talked about this a lot. It's really more of a ploy to try to sway sentiment in the next election. And unfortunately for the Democrats, I think it's going to, but I think it's going to sway it the wrong way.
Yeah, they're creating a sentiment on the other side. I agree with you. I think what they're hoping is that just the very word impeach will tarnish Trump. And let's be honest, he doesn't deserve that. It may actually politically help him win the next election, but it would still be a shame because he doesn't deserve that. Honestly, Jim, and you know how much I disliked this guy at first, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln, with all he's had to go through, even from his own party, even from his own cabinet, even from his own administration, and yet all he's accomplished in just 3 years, I think he's one of the greatest presidents this country ever had so far. And I know that's a very unpopular thing to say right now, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Well, yeah, you know, for things that matter to most American people, unemployment, the economy, a sense of feeling that a guy's trying to make our country secure, whether it's borders or, you know, my goodness, the guy went overseas and visited troops. You know, God bless him.
Yeah, and remember they had a story, I think it was the Washington Post, which they had a story that, what did they say, that he went and played golf that day and then the person got fired for getting it wrong? Now, how hard would it have been to check out a story like that?
They don't do that anymore. You know, some of these sources, CNN and the rest, they've become like Mad Magazine and the National Enquirer. You know, they're funny and they're entertaining, but there's nothing true.
They make
stuff up.
The NBC cable network, Sean Hannity calls MSDNC now.
That's funny. Well, it's a sign of the times. We live in a crazy, crazy era, and we can laugh about it. We can talk about it, but there's also great concern when you see a nation where there are voices just freely pouring forth lies, and they do it so seductively, and a lot of people believe this stuff, and that's happened in many nations in times past, and it's produced some really negative stuff.
And they're doing it according to Saul Alinsky's playbook.
Well,
you could just turn the pages and predict what's going to happen next.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, Hillary and Obama and those people were big fans and students, and so we're seeing it. But I just hope that there's enough of middle America, the people that are out there working, the people have to, you know, that have to... sweat rent and provide food for their families and all of that stuff. And people that have an appreciation for the history of this country. I just think there's probably enough of them out there that are sick to death of this stuff. And I would love to see a landslide next November, not only for the president, but in the House and just across the boards, and even gubernatorial races. I would love to see a kind of a house cleaning, we might say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, he ran on draining the swamp. I just don't think he had any idea of the depth and width of the swamp.
I don't think most of us realized how deep it was, even in the Republican Party. That's the biggest concern, that so many, the rhinos and such, that they have turned their back on the president and the party and the American people, and I think some of those folks are going to pay for it.
Yeah, so, well, we'll see.
We will see. Well, here we are, folks. Merry Christmas. I wanted to say that up at the top. Merry Christmas. I will say Merry Christmas a lot.
Now, Jim, surely you mean Happy Holidays. You don't want to be offensive by saying
Merry Christmas. I mean Christ is born. I want to celebrate that, and I know you do too. I'm looking forward to hearing some Christmas music throughout this program tonight. And
Naturally.
So,
oh, and tonight, if you tune in next week, well, actually the next few weeks when I repeat some of my Christmas specials, you'll hear a lot of entire Christmas songs played on those shows too. So
that's great. I'm glad you can get away with that. You know, my church knows by now that every Sunday in December, it's all Christmas all the time. And we do all Christmas music, all the carols. The classic ones are great hymns, really. And
they're amongst the few hymns that I like. I'm not a big fan of hymns, but I do love the Christmas carols.
I love the Christmas songs, and there's a Christmas story, a Christmas message. I don't know if I will allude to this morning's message on the program tonight. It may have some relevance, but I just never get tired of that. And the whole thing, obviously, the true meaning of Christmas, that God sent his son, the story of Mary and Joseph traveling from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. But I love the lights, and I love the trees, and I love giving presents to my grandkids. I love the whole deal. And so I get real caught up in it. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, about the Christmas season and from a particular perspective. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Okay. I keep waiting for the bumper music, so.
What, you have more time on her hands? It's coming right up. You've got about a minute, I'm told. Yeah.
Well, what we want to talk about when we get back from the break.
So you wanted a smoother transition by starting it with the next segment, and you wanted to tease the audience. Is that what you're saying?
I really did.
Okay. Well, there you go. We'll cooperate with you, Jim. Here it is. The angels from heaven are providing the music.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development, that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. If you heard our program last week, you were introduced to Ray Christensen, the talented author of the new Dangerous Christmas Ornament coloring book, a companion to my novel. I did want to remind you that Ray and I will both be involved in a book signing this coming Thursday, December 12th, at Skyline Church from 6:45 to 8 o'clock. Details can be found on the front page of my website, bobsiegel.net. We'd love to meet you. Signed copies of both the coloring book and the novel will be available. That's Thursday night, Skyline Church in the Study near the cafe and bookstore. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Bob Siegel did it in the study with the Dangerous Christmas.
That's, I didn't think of that. It's the clue game. Mrs. Peacock in the pool room with the candlestick.
That's right.
There
yeah.
we go. Yeah, I used to love playing that
game. I'm going to have to order
that. That was a great game. I loved playing that.
That was fun. I'm going to have to get that coloring book because a couple of them, I have a couple of grandkids that are young enough that they still like coloring books.
If you get a chance to hear the interview we did with the illustrator last week, it's on my website. Fascinating guy, and he did it in a comic book style. The pictures,
yeah.
They're just phenomenal.
That's the great way to reach kids. And that I love the book, folks. I'm doing my plug right now. Dangerous Christmas Ornament is a classic, and I put it right up there. It's on the level of a C.S. Lewis type of a story.
Okay, well, you heard that from him and not from me, but that's very kind praise, my friend. Thank you.
Well, I really enjoy it, but the coloring book's a good idea, so I'm going to have to order some of those. Now, often throughout the year when I'm on the show, we do a little bit of musical trivia pursuit, and I try to guess the songs going in and out of commercial breaks. I love music. I'm big on rock and roll and all of that. We've established that. But I have said on many occasions that I think maybe the greatest piece of music ever written was Handel's Messiah, specifically the Hallelujah Chorus. It's just a goosebump piece of music, and when done properly, it's just phenomenal. And so, this evening, we want to talk about Messiah, and so specifically, Christmas from the perspective of the Jew, and maybe the first part, let's talk about the first century Jew and what they were expecting with Messiah, and what happened when Jesus showed up. And then maybe a little later we'll talk about modern Jews and the view toward Christmas and how that is received or not received. So I'm going to read it. Just give me a minute here. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 2, and it says,
okay.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem, O Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means the least of the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And that's a classic part of the Christmas story. And, of course, we celebrate these interesting fellows from the east, probably not as far east as most people think, and they were probably not just three of them, and they weren't even necessarily kings. We've covered all of that. But there were these mysterious men who came following this star, and they were looking for the king of the Jews. Now, I have a few questions about this, and I want to hear your perspective on this. First of all, it says Herod was troubled. Well, we understand that because he was king and he didn't want another king coming on the scene.
Well, not only that, but he was a puppet king given that position and title by the Romans, and they actually called him the King of the Jews. That title phrased, not that the Jews hadn't had other kings, but that title phrased exactly that way, the King of the Jews, given by the Romans. Herod was the first one to ever have that title. And Herod was psychopathically certifiable, too. So needless to say, he did not like hearing all this stuff about another king.
And apparently he didn't attend Sabbath school very often.
No.
Because he had to ask.
He wasn't even Jewish. He actually wasn't even Jewish. He was a Gentile, but he married somebody from the Maccabean. They called it the Hasmonean dynasty, to kind of try to legitimize his kingship.
Yeah, which that's nothing new. They've done that for centuries. That kind of political thing. But he does gather in the experts, and they all knew, because I'm sure they had their prophecy charts, just like the guys do today, had the line, and here's how things are going to happen. And they said, well, you know, everybody knows that. It's going to be in Bethlehem. Now, one of the questions I have is, it says all of Jerusalem was troubled. Why was Jerusalem troubled? I understand why Herod had a problem, but what was with the rest of Jerusalem? Why were they bothered by this? Do you have any idea?
I would only guess a concern as to what he was going to do, although it was Bethlehem where he had the kids murdered. Bethlehem is not very far from Jerusalem at all. It's very close. And so even the people living in Jerusalem, it was like, who knows what this guy might do? He could have done anything. He had his own sons killed. I mean, there was a quotation from those days saying he loved his pets, which were pigs, incidentally, the forbidden animals to Jews. Once said, I'd rather be one of Herod's pigs than a member of his own family.
Wow. Yeah. So he was not a good guy. And maybe that was it. Maybe there was that fear. Well, we don't want to shake things up here. We already have enough trouble with Rome occupying the land. Even though at one point the religious leaders said to Jesus, we've never been slaves to anyone. I found that comical because Rome occupied them. They were slaves to Egypt. They were slaves to Babylon, but never mind, the history. So, but there was trouble at this notion that now there was a king showing up.
And what was he worried about? They were talking about a king that would be born. Herod was in his 70s at this time.
Yeah.
He would be dead before this king even grew up. That just shows the psychological profile of this man.
Yeah, this guy had real issues. However, there was a promise of a Messiah, and the Jews were waiting for that. And obviously they knew Bethlehem. They knew the signs. They knew what they're supposed to look for. And yet, they missed him when he showed up. They didn't recognize Jesus was the Messiah. Though he fulfilled so many prophecies and he fit all of the criteria, and they missed him. And I've found a parallel to that in today's evangelical community. I have friends, man, all they want to talk about is when are the end times, who's the Antichrist.
Okay, well, we'll figure out when the end times are going to be when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in three serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. hearing. Houses burned down.
You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Show. I'm joined by Jim Barrier, and that was just for you, Jim.
You know, thank you so much. It's an awesome piece of music, and you until you hear that performed live by a really good choir, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir actually does a great version of it, but it's just a tremendous piece of music. Here's another little trivia thing for you. It goes great with fireworks. years ago, a church that I was at in San Diego, I was at Faith Chapel and Skyline, and I think probably Scott Memorial, which is now Shadow Mountain. The three churches, they would do a big 4th of July thing, and one year they had fireworks, and the great climax of the thing, they did a fireworks show to the Hallelujah Chorus. It was pretty awesome.
Okay, now I have a confession to make, and this is going to make me very unpopular. Uh-oh. Handel's Messiah is not my favorite, but I realize I'm alone. I don't like the movie Elf either. I'm probably alone in that too. So Brendan played it for you. And even though I don't like it, you're my good friend. It's Christmas time. I gave you a Christmas present that just shows you the kind of guy I am.
Merry Christmas.
You know, thank you.
That says volumes. And thank you, Brandon. Well, I'm not a big Elf fan either, so I...
There you go.
But my grandson went to see Elf, the musical. There's a musical version of it now, and I thought, I just can't do it.
It could only improve it.
So the mindset of the first century Jew, they were waiting for Messiah, and there were all of these signs that, you know, were to be fulfilled, and Jesus came along, and yet they didn't really receive him as the Messiah. So they were really more looking for a political leader to come and deliver them from oppressors like Rome and such. And that wasn't the plan that God had. And so I think there was a little conflict in all of that.
Well, the Messiah had several roles that were predicted. He was going to come as a warrior king, but before that, he needed to atone for the people's sins and rise from the dead. Now, mm-hmm. the prophecies predicted both roles of the Messiah, but as time went on, because the Jews had lived under so many different conquerors, from the Persians to the Greeks to the Romans, mm-hmm. by the time they're under Rome, they're not interested in hearing anymore about somebody that's going to atone for their sin. They want to hear about somebody who's going to beat the snot out of the Romans. So when Jesus went to the cross, they were very confused. They were going, he can't possibly be the Messiah. But if they were paying better attention to the prophet Isaiah, they would have realized, well, the Messiah must do this first. Then he's going to do all those other things you're expecting.
And I believe that he will come back and settle some things on a, if you will, political level, waging war. But that was the whole thing. He came to deliver them from a different enemy, from during a, in a different kind of warfare. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of the world." And so there was confusion, there was disappointment, and so I think that was part of the problem. So Jesus was constantly at odds with the religious elite. And in fact, for reading the Gospels, it kind of looks like the only people that Jesus couldn't hang with were the extremely religious people.
Yeah, and if he came today, it would be clergymen that would be having the greatest problem with them.
I'm afraid.
And I'm right. And Jim, you and I are both pastors, but we're still both admitting that. The religious leaders were the ones feeling threatened by Jesus.
Yeah, and I have, you know, my own issues, and he might come and kind of threaten me with some things, or I would be threatened by his presence. I don't think Jesus was the type of person to go around.
Well, any wise person would be aware of his own sin in Jesus' presence, but I don't believe you would be threatened with him the way the Pharisees were.
No. But I might be greatly humbled, and I might be on my face before him, understanding what power is resident in the Son of God. So, but that was a big problem during Jesus' earthly ministry, dealing with the religious elite, who ultimately, we had all the controversy when Mel Gibson did the film The Passion, and he took a lot of heat because he included the scene that is mentioned in the narrative in the Gospels, where they said, "We have no king but Caesar, crucify him, crucify him." And in John's Gospel, it says he came to his own and they didn't receive him.
And who was John? John was Jewish. Ladies and gentlemen, with the exception of Luke and Acts, the entire New Testament was written by Jews. They were painfully honest about their own shortcomings. The Old Testament, you're not going to find a greater indictment of Israel disobeying God than the Old Testament. Who was that written by? The Jews. So much for this nonsense of history being written by the victors and cleaned up by the victors. That shows the integrity of the Old and New Testament as collection of historical documents.
And I think both you and I, as in the field of apologetics, have used that as an argument for the validity of the scriptures, that it doesn't try to hide things. It doesn't cover up sins of kings and all of those things. It's a great statement about the honesty of the scriptures. Nevertheless, Jesus was not well received. We'll come back.
We'll come back, and we're going out to Mannheim Steamrollers, one that I do like. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church.
Skyline Church.
It is our tradition on the Bob Siegel Show to air Christmas specials over the holidays, and we will be doing so over the next three Sundays. The first is our newest. In fact, I did this program live for the first time last year. A History of Christmas and Christmas Traditions. We will rebroadcast it next week. The program is a combination of music and talk. I defend many items which skeptics have difficulty accepting, including the miracle of the virgin birth, supposed historical contradictions between Matthew and Luke regarding the date of Christ's birth, and the two supplied genealogies of Christ. We also examine the origin of various Christmas celebrations and Santa Claus myths over the years, including a look at the real, honest-to-goodness historical person, St. Nicholas. You don't want to miss this show. The following week will be my annual movie review, holiday movies. And finally, as always, a favorite, my interview with Sylvia Lang, the niece of Hugh Martin, who wrote the famous song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, the second most popular Christmas song of all time. Of course, I'll be back with you the first Sunday of January for a brand spanking new live show. But meanwhile, we're still live right now with Jim Barrier.
And what a great segue, because I wanted to move into modern times and how Jewish people view Christmas. And I'm going to skip a little because you talked about music, and I believe the number one most popular Christmas song is probably White Christmas. Am I right on that?
And again, that one is not one of my favorites. Actually, I like the song, but I kind of go into this in my review program. The way people, it's played so much and it's usually massacred and the melody line is massacred and the tempo is off. In the original way it was sung by Bing Crosby, I actually did like it, but it's become, it's morphed into one that I do not like.
I like that too. That song was written by one
Irving
Israel,
Berlin.
Well, Israel Isidore Berlin, otherwise known as Irving Berlin,
a Jewish man who doesn't believe in Christmas and writes the most popular Christmas song of all time. Yeah, you got to love
another that. Another great one, the Christmas song, aka Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. Mel Torme co-wrote that. Mel Torme, Jewish.
And you're not confusing that with the Chipmunk song, which is a great Christmas time.
No.
Uh-oh. Sounds like you like that one about as well as the dog barking to Jingle Bells.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. If
I remember when we played that one for you a couple of years ago.
Please.
But then
me.
I played Streisand singing Jingle Bells, and remember the dog barking sounded better to you after I did that.
I think you're right. I remember that. Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand, both Jewish, each have Christmas albums.
Yeah, well, they're no dummies. Well, the Jews in Israel, they believe Christianity is a lot of nonsense, but they'll do these tourism tours. Oh, this is where Jesus was actually born. You know,
Christmas is
laugh all
business.
The way to the bank.
Yeah, it's big business, and so.
And I'm not saying all Jews are into big business. I'm Jewish myself, converted to Christianity. I just don't want somebody calling.
And I wanted to point that out, but so, the point of it is that they don't hate Christmas. They're not opposed to or appalled by Christmas or afraid to say Christmas because it's a cultural thing and it's part of our society. And
if they're so selling hit albums, then our joy is theirs in every sense of the word.
Yeah, but I love that because we are in a strange era now, the PC era, And you can't say Merry Christmas, you have to say Happy Holidays, and you can't put up a nativity scene on certain properties, and all of this kind of nonsense. And that's only happened in our lifetime, Bob. And I realize that, one, it's part of a political agenda. We talked a month or two ago about the... kind of the movement toward an anti-Christian, anti-Judeo-Christian, anti-religious, anti-biblical. There's a whole bunch of stuff moving against what Christianity is and what it stands for. And so Christmas gets lumped in with that. But you're Jewish. Before you converted to Christianity, were you anti-Christmas?
No, in fact, I loved Christmas. It was my favorite time of the year. I liked Hanukkah, too, which came at that time of the year. And I thought it was kind of ridiculous. I remember being in high school and saying, what is this nonsense about some baby being born in a stable, therefore there's peace on earth? But it was no big deal to me. I say this to atheists who I debate now. I say, I myself was once an atheist. I did not feel the need to join atheist associations and get together and strategize about the fact that we don't believe in God. If you don't want to believe in God, don't believe in God. It's a free country. Nobody's making you. It's really much ado about nothing. But I love the carols. I love the decoration. I love the. I did not understand it. Now, after I became a Christian and understood what all that meant, I just went crazy, and I love it so much more. But I loved it even before I was saved. And I was raised as a liberal atheist Jew who didn't even believe in the Old Testament, let alone the New Testament.
Yeah, and so unlike the first century Jew, that they were quite caught up in what they were wanting, they believed was going to happen. Modern Jews, and I think as a whole, people who, whether it's people born Jewish and that just happens to be that's what's in their blood and they're of Jewish descent, or people who live in Israel but not practicing any particular religion, but there are a lot of Jewish people that I think are not antagonistic about the whole Christmas thing. I've had Jewish friends, and they will say Merry Christmas. They don't have a problem saying that.
Prager is one of them. Dennis Prager is one of the best defenders of Christianity.
Yeah, and so I just think people that think there's pressure that they have to not give in to Christmas or Christianity, or they're afraid of those words, those traditions, I think they really missed the boat. Some other historical people. Viennese socialite Fanny Arnstein, co-founder of the Music Society of Austria, was one of the first Jews to have a Christmas tree in her home. A Jew with a Christmas tree. Another one was Theodor Herzl, the father of modern Zionism.
Oh, yeah, one of the Zionist fathers. I did not know that about Theodore. That's very interesting.
Yeah, he kept a Christmas tree in his house. You know, so it's like, you know, we've made divisions and we've tried to separate, and it's kind of the spirit of today. You know, we want to separate people, whether it's based on race or party or religion, and there just seems to be people that are insistent on dividing. And in Christmas, of all the times of the year and of all of the holidays, it ought to be a time when people can come together. And so you see lots of great charities, and you have Toys for Tots, and you have Christmas dinners and things. And I think we need to support that. We don't have to proselyte everybody to celebrate.
Okay, we'll be back for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. Buying or selling a home? Feeling overwhelmed? Facing what seems like unlimited choices? Believe me, your first and most important step is to find the right person to represent you and look out for your interests. Somebody who will help you save money while buying or make money for you when you sell. So listen carefully as I offer the best housing advice you're ever going to hear. What you want to do is contact Realty Executives All Area, and you want to ask for my good friend, Fred Falduti. Fred has managed literally hundreds of real estate transactions in the San Diego area and has handled just about any scenario you can imagine. Believe me, folks, you don't want to navigate the landmines of this economy without a skilled and experienced guide. But Fred is so much more. He will look after your interests as if they were his own. Give him a call or contact him online. Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back at 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always happy to be joined by my good friend, Jim Barrier.
You're hitting all my favorites tonight. I love the Christmas music. I love God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Just for a silly note here, I one time recorded that song, but to the melody of the Gilligan's Island theme song.
Oh, that's good. I've done that with Amazing Grace, too. That fits the Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, you can do Amazing Grace, too. I did a whole album of Amazing Grace to different secular melodies.
Oh, you can do it to House of the Rising Sun? You can do it to
all of those, yeah. I've done that, but I did God Rest You Merry Gilligan, and it was a hoot. So now back to... back to the program, I would rather see this season of Christmas be what it was maybe when I was a kid. And we talk about that, the way things were. But when I was a kid, I was not raised Christian. I was like, I didn't understand all that. I didn't understand the story and everything. I loved the lights and trees. I loved getting presents. But there was just this, seemed to be this atmosphere of goodwill and of people being friendly and cheerful, and you were happy, and it was just a great time. Was Santa Claus or no? You know what? I probably believed in Santa Claus when I was a little kid, you know. But there was just this attitude where we thought, let's get on. We're going to feed the homeless. We're gonna celebrate. We're going to have a big dinner, and family's going to come over, and we're going to decorate the tree. We're going to wrap presents. We're going to unwrap presents Christmas morning. You know, there's controversy. Are you allowed to unwrap presents on Christmas Eve? And if so, is it only one, or do you have to wait till the morning? But all of, sorry, I'm just rambling along here.
I love all those traditions, and I love the idea of opening one on Christmas Eve, especially if it's one of mine.
But I've always loved it, even before I knew
what it was all about.
Exactly. And I love it even more now. Just like you said, it's even more important to me, and I enjoy it. I celebrate it. So as we're wrapping up here, folks, don't let the Christmas season go by and miss the goodness of it. I know it's busy. I know there's traffic. I know there's lines at the stores. And if you live in San Diego, most of the listeners, and so you don't have to worry about bad weather. I know it did rain
there. But, you know, I don't even mind the hustle and bustle at the stores. I don't mind the long – I mean, I hate long lines any other time of the year. But at Christmas time, it's just all part of the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's part of the deal. And the Salvation Army person out there ringing the bell, you know, always put a buck in there. Whatever. You know, some places they actually have Christmas carols going around in the mall singing and stuff like that.
Did you ever go out caroling? I used to love doing that, too.
Oh, we did
just going
that
out with your friends and caroling at people's doorsteps. What a blast that was.
Yeah, we did that. And I didn't even know what the songs were about, but I used to love singing that stuff. And we've done that with our church, going out in the neighborhood. And so I love all of that. And I just want to encourage people, be with people that you love. Spend some time this month. celebrate the season. Celebrate Jesus, certainly. And I know people that get real, real aggressive about using it as a, you know, a time to evangelize, but use it as a time to celebrate.
Yeah, you know? And then sometimes just let God work. I believe that even for those who don't understand what Christmas is about, and you and I are examples when we were younger, there's just something about the atmosphere of celebrating something that's from God. I'm of the belief that God's moving heaven and earth a little bit closer during Christmas time, and it affects people even on a subliminal level, which they do not understand.
I agree. And one time you were on the show I had here in San Antonio, and we were talking about Christmas, is it pagan and all of that, and you made the statement, you know, well, God is all about redeeming things. And so even if there are elements of the Christmas thing that are secular or whatever, can't God redeem that? You know, it was a great perspective. So I'm making an appeal to our listeners. Redeem the time. Celebrate with people. Do some charitable things. You know, we have a little church, as you know, and we go out in the neighborhood every year, and we'll bake about 200 dozen cookies. Our little congregation of 20, 30 people, they'll bake 200 dozen homemade cookies, and we put them in bags of a dozen. We take them out and distribute them in the neighborhood. We don't put gospel tracts in the bag.
It's not a package deal. Yeah.
No, it's
good
Merry
for you.
Christmas. And you know what? We've had people that have wound up joining our church.
They probably joined just because you didn't put a track in the bag. That probably made them want to join.
Yeah. They come out of curiosity.
They say, hey, here's a no-strings-attached church that just cares about me. Let's go see what they're all about.
What a concept, huh?
Absolutely.
And so I'm just, you know, find a thing. You know, keep some things in your car to hand out to the homeless person you see on the corner. A thing that really works. And I got it from a friend of mine who lives in San Diego. She does little Ziploc bags, and she'll put a bottle of water, and she'll put a granola bar. And you know what's really, really valuable to homeless people is a pair of white socks, brand new, clean socks. And just a little care package, and have them behind the seat. And when you see somebody on the corner and you're thinking, I don't want to give him money because he's going to buy booze with it, great. Give him one of these little care packages.
Give him water and tell him if he accepts Christ, might change the water into wine. He can get his booze that way.
You're so bad. And just say, Merry Christmas, God bless you. Just be kind to somebody. Be kind to somebody. You know, one of my favorite Christmas stories is the Christmas Carol. And it isn't really so much about Jesus, but it's about the human spirit and the heart and turning to kindness and generosity.
There's certainly redemption in that story.
Yeah, and that ought to be our attitude. It really should be that way all year, but of all the times a year, this is the time to demonstrate goodwill toward men. And I know you know the linguistics, that passage really, it's goodwill, it's peace toward men of goodwill, but be that way. Be peaceful. Make peace at places. Show kindness and goodwill and charity and do those things. Be a Saint Nicholas for someone. And the great thing about it is you do those things charitably. You do it without wanting something in return. And ultimately, you do something in return. You get a reward of having served and loved. It needs to be the way to go. I'm going to go into the speech at the end of Scrooge with Bill Murray.
I love Bill Murray.
Yeah, it's a great treatment of that. I also like the Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol was one of my favorites.
After all these years, I still have not seen the Mr. Magoo version.
Oh, Bob.
I know. I hear it's terrific. I still have not seen it.
Do it this year.
I'll have to do that. Do they have that available on DVD? I don't think I've ever seen it.
But you can find it. Google it.
I could at least go to Amazon. All right, my friend. Well, you have a wonderful Christmas. It's always
you
good
too.
Seeing you. We'll schedule to have you on sometime in January. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to tune in for the history of Christmas on my program next week. And hopefully before then, I'll see some of you at Thursday's book signing. Again, details are found on my website. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And once again, we don't mean Happy Holiday. We mean Merry Christmas.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.